Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Standing by, the Terry and Ted Podcast is sponsored by the UPS Store Canada.
Hello, Stundos. I mean, me and Ted.
Yes.
Yeah, we're Stundos.
We're a bit stunned.
Yep. It's another edition of the Standing By podcast, and just want to warn you right up front, pas invité for this one again.
It's just us.
Yeah, it's just us,
it's two knuckleheads.
Two Stundos, and we are proud and pleased to be here. Aren't we?
We are.
Well, we're pleased to be here. I don't know how proud we are.
I'm proud.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Although I try not to be too proud. Pride will get you in trouble. It's one of the seven deadly sins, you
know. Is it really?
Eh? Yeah. There's pride, jealousy, lust, greed, prancer, dancer, Nixon.
Thank you, Father. we got some topics we want to cover today, and we're going to get to them. As always, when we begin the podcast, we start with gratitude and expression of thanks to our lead sponsor.
Title sponsor.
Our title sponsor.
Why can't you remember the word title? It's not that difficult.
This is what I was telling you on the last podcast we just recorded, and I don't know where that's going to fall, so I shouldn't reference it. But I thought for a minute I had a stroke. Mm-hmm. When you said I did something, and I thought I did something else, and
right.
So I don't know. Maybe it's time of day. I suspected that, you know, because I'm not working on a regular basis now, that maybe I'm not as
articulate.
Yeah, thank you.
No, I would notice that.
Okay,
I would notice
you would
that
tell
because
me.
I know you well enough, and I would tell you. I would say, "Hey, Terry, you're a little slow off the mark there. What's going on?
What's going on, Stundo?" Anyway, our title sponsor is the UPS Store. The upsstore.ca is where you start to find, we think it's 380 locations. But
well, you know what? The guy who runs the joint, the guy who oversees it all, our great and good friend of many years, David Drucker. We had lunch with David the other day, and Terry said, how many stores have you got now, David? Is it 380? And David goes, yeah, I guess so.
I think so.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Amazing.
And it's not so much that he didn't know, it's because it's growing so fast.
Yeah, and it's not
he's
like
he's having trouble keeping up.
It's not like he's not paying attention. He's a crackerjack businessman and a highly successful and prosperous one, but it was just funny the way that it came out.
And we took Ted for a visit. We went to Jason Liverman's store in the Isle of Parrots.
Yes, sir.
The other day, and you got a firsthand look because I used them all the time when I lived in Calgary and have used them recently. And used them when I moved for shipping, you know, leftovers and stuff like that. But it was your first look. You got to play with the mailboxes.
I did.
Yeah.
Tried the packing peanuts. They were delicious.
Yep.
And I personally don't have any reason to use a UPS store, but maybe I do. Maybe there are things that I do in my everyday life or on occasion. Like, for example, at Christmas time, if I have gifts to send to my relatives down in New Brunswick.
Yep.
Obviously, I would do the post office.
No, let them do it.
Yeah.
Take it to UPS.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Courier services, packaging services, printing services, mailbox rentals. They can shred stuff for you. Anything that you need to run your business, they'll help you with. And anything you need for relatives, they can help you with that too. Find the location closest to you at the upsstore.ca. Now, you wanted to open the podcast.
I would like to address the elephant in the room.
My dementia.
Well, we're old. we're older. We're not old yet, but we're older. I joke about.
Yeah.
You know, you have trouble finishing a sentence. You know, you say, "I thought I had a stroke," but we are getting older, and we're starting to notice things. That were not part of our lives before. One of them is, and we've talked about this on podcasts before, emotions.
True.
I don't know if there's a physiological element to that. If you get, like, I'm weepier than I used to be.
Yes.
Things will bring me to tears much easier than they used. You remember me from 30 years ago. Yes. I was the one who was going, stop your blubbering.
Get a hold of yourself.
Yeah, get a hold of yourself, for Christ's sake. Have some dignity. And now I watch a commercial on TV and...
I've always been very emotional.
I know
as you know.
I know you have.
And I think they don't know why, but heart patients.
You're Italian, that's why.
Yeah, but post-heart surgery.
Oh, yeah?
Even more so. And they say that people who have had heart surgery or heart issues.
Strokes.
Are very much more emotional post-operation and, you know, post, you know, whatever your deal is. That's part of it. But I also think you were telling the story about your grandfather giving you $5. I think when you get older.
But this was when you get older, you do. But he was also post-stroke at that
time.
Right. And I remember my mom telling me that he had become much more emotional after he had his stroke.
Yeah.
But I used to go over to my grandfather's house and mow his lawn, and he'd give me $5 and cry when I left.
Right.
And he was the age I am now.
Right.
So I think to myself, well, maybe I come by it naturally. I don't know. But thank God I live by myself because I watch movies now and cry.
But I think.
Besides, over there going, Christ almighty. You see, we're old. The 33-year-old guys over there going, Jesus Christ, would you go, old bastards, get a hold of yourselves?
I don't like...
What? Go ahead, Poseidon.
Sorry, it makes sense. And because last time I met my grandfather, how old was I? I think I was 21. And when he saw me, he saw that I'd grown into a man, and he got very weepy as well. And he was in his 70s, or late 60s, early 70s, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember exactly. And he got a bit weepy as well. So it makes sense that with age. And I also wanted to say, don't feel bad about, like, losing your words and stuff like that, because we're 8 episodes into Standing By, and I finally understood the joke about the packing peanuts.
Okay. Well, maybe it was just a poorly executed joke.
No. Because I finally ended up, I'm like, because the whole time you kept saying, I kept asking, what the fuck does he mean? Who packs stuff with peanuts? I don't understand. And then it finally clicked.
They're little pieces of styrofoam about the size of a peanut.
Exactly. I don't like the characterization of old, because I don't feel old, but I have to admit, at 65, I'll be 66 in January, that's older. Although I think that when I was a kid, and when you were a kid, 65 was, Christ, how is that not dead yet?
Yeah, well, 55 was that.
Yeah. And there were a lot of people back then, you know, they were dropping like flies after 50, 52. Yeah. I think science has come a long way. Medicine has come a long way. My heart surgeon said to me, if this was 1960, I would have told you to go home and enjoy your last year of your life.
Wow. Well, you and I have both gone through serious health challenges.
Yes.
You had open heart surgery. I had cancer.
Yeah.
I had the sexy one, rectal cancer.
Yeah.
Hello, ladies. But we both got past it. I've been cancer-free now for about 7 years. You're about 10 months out open heart surgery and doing well. And we've both been very fortunate. And I think, and this is where these pictures come in, Poseidon, I think you and I are both in better shape now than we were 20 years ago.
Here's a picture. The evidence.
There's a picture of Terry and I, if you're watching on YouTube, 20 years ago with my sons, Sam and Charlie. We're at a remote broadcast. So I'm thinking Sam is 4 there and Charlie's 2. They're now 24 and 22. So, like, look at the fat faces on us.
Yeah, I just...
And we're flush. And I was, at that point, if Sam's 4, I'm 6 years sober at that point. I haven't had a drink of alcohol in 6 years.
Yeah, well...
And I still don't look great.
I must have been drinking your share and also having a lot of pie.
So, I was not next picture, shape. 20 years later, this is earlier this fall, at the remote broadcast at Felix and Norton Cookies on Light 106.7 Radio, and we recreated the pose with the Sam sitting on my lap and Charlie sitting on your lap. Charlie's even doing the same
the hand
up
gesture
to his head that he was doing in the original picture. Yeah. But if you look at you and I, we look healthier.
We are healthier.
20 years later.
Yeah.
than we were.
I think
in,
it's more than 20 years, isn't it?
No, it would be 20 years because, like I say, they were 4-2, and now they're 24-22.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, we're both significantly lighter.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Like we weigh less, and I think our color is better.
Yeah.
And so by the time we're in our mid-80s, we should be pretty sexy.
But it's funny when you think about it. Like I don't, you know, back when the boys were sitting on my knee, when I was had that old picture, I had to be pushing 300 pounds.
Yeah,
and I don't know if I just discarded it or didn't think about it. And now you've been with me all week, and every time we take a picture, I go, "Oh fuck, look at the fat piece of shit!" Like, I just look at the belly on me, Christ's sake. You know, like you never. I don't know. I never been able to shake that. I think that's a psychological thing, I suppose.
Yeah, but you still look so much better than you did.
Thank you.
Back then.
Yeah.
And your hair's quite a bit better too.
Yeah.
And, as is mine. We both.
Yeah. And despite open heart surgery, I think I am healthier.
Oh, for sure you are. You absolutely are.
Yeah, for
your
sure.
Your mom paid me a nice compliment
earlier
today. We were on a FaceTime call with Terry's parents, and your dad looks great. Your dad has had some health challenges, and it looks like he's on the road back. And Terry's mom said to me, "Ted, I love your white hair. It looks very dignified."
Yes.
And there are guys our age who dye their hair shoe polish black, and it looks so bad.
Well.
It looks so bad.
You know what the other one is? The rust color.
Yeah.
You know, there was a guy that we worked with in the newsroom who had that rust color. He was,
actually, guys our age, you see that more than you do the black.
Yeah.
It's so obvious, and it's a color that doesn't exist in nature.
Yeah, exactly.
It's off the Sherwin-Williams paint palette.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like periwinkle mandarin or some fucking thing.
And by the way, when you're 80-something and your hair is that odd rust color brown, you're not fooling anybody.
No, you're not.
And when it begins to leak like it did on Rudy Giuliani, then that's really an unfortunate shit show.
I did that in my early to mid-40s when my hair started to turn. I went to the drugstore and I got
the shoe polish.
The Just for Men something, Auburn something, because I'm a bit of a ginger. And I put it, and I used it for, I don't know, for maybe a few weeks, maybe a couple of months. And at one point I looked in the mirror and I went, "What are you doing? What's the matter with you? Have some dignity, for Christ's sake." So it's gone from stop your blubber into stop dyeing your fucking hair. Listen, to each their own. And what's interesting to me is that women do it, but it works because they do it right.
Yeah.
Like whoever dyes women's hair, well, I think this is the thing. Women go to professionals and get their hair dyed. Men do it themselves in the bathroom, and you can see the difference. You can see a woman of our age who doesn't have a natural hair color necessarily, but it still looks good. It's not like, well, there was the blue rinse crowd back when we were kids, right, where it was obvious. But if they, they've got to pay for it, but you see a lot of women who don't have their natural hair color anymore, but they go to these beauty salons, these upscale beauty salons, and they pay good money, I think, and they do a nice job. But with the men, you can always tell.
Yeah.
And you see it on TV with the anchors and the reporters and the sports announcers. It's like, Al Michaels, what are you doing? I think he's got the rust color going on, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he does. And also, there has been a lot of talk this year on social media about him being at the party maybe perhaps a little bit
really
long.
Eh?
Yeah, there has been.
His game is slipping as a broadcaster?
I must admit, I was watching with Jess. We were watching a game. I think he works on Thursday night.
He does.
Thursday night.
I think it's Amazon Prime Thursday
that's
night
right.
football.
Yeah. So we were watching on Thursday night. And I turned to Jess at one point and I said, "It sounds like Al Michaels doesn't even want to be here." The game was an afterthought. He seemed to be struggling to me.
Is that right?
And then I noticed on social, you know how when you think something and you go to social media to confirm it?
Well, I see his name pop up in trending a lot on Fridays.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, that I'm not a fan of, and again, to each his own, it's, if Shaka Songu, is that that's what you want to do, is the all of the plastic surgery is really unfortunate. Some really, some really famous people that I've long been a big fan of, and you see them and you go, "Oh, what did you do that for? How come you did that?" That and the the balloon lips.
Oh yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah. The balloon lips.
Yeah, what do you call that? Collagen.
Collagen
injections.
Yeah, and their lips get sort of out of whack. But it's vanity, right?
Well, of course it's vanity. Yeah, and we all suffer from it.
Like
sometimes,
absolutely.
Sometimes I got the little bit of a turkey neck going mm-hmm. here, and I think to myself sometimes, shit, if I had the money, yeah. I might go to a cosmetic surgeon and see what I could do about that. But then I'm afraid it would become a slippery slope.
It will be.
Yeah,
I think
and
it
the next
will
thing,
be.
You know, the next thing you know, my whole face will be like
yeah,
this,
yeah.
You know?
All pulled back with elastics.
Exactly, yeah. And I'll come in and he'll laugh just like that.
Just like that.
The second I walk in the door, Poseidon will be on the fucking floor laughing. Yeah.
Aging and gracefully aging, I think, is a good thing.
It is a good thing, and it's a challenging thing.
It is.
And I feel for
television people because you spend your whole career looking at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the first thing you see on television when you're getting ready to go live on TV. You have to look at the monitor and check your hair and check your, you know, if your jacket is hanging properly. And you spend all that time looking at yourself and going, oh, Christ, Jesus.
Yeah. And then you get a little bit older and then you see the young, talented, good. I mean, for you know, you were a part-time television.
Yeah.
You know, you did guest spots on TV, but for someone who's on every day, or who's, you know, a regular sports broadcaster, a regular play-by-play color commentator on TV, you see the young, good-looking people coming up behind you. You hear those footsteps.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there is a great pressure to dye your hair periwinkle orange.
Yeah. Or get your bags removed.
Yeah.
The bags under your eyes is what I mean.
Yeah.
And your bag removed. What the hell?
Well, it seemed like a good idea at the time.
So we're going to do two tweet sheets on this.
We are.
On this particular broadcast or podcast. Not because we don't have the content, because we do have the content. We have a lot of things we want to talk about, but Ted forgot to do a tweet sheet.
I did.
One of our episodes.
Was it the last episode where him and I were solo, flying solo? Okay, then let's do two. Let's start with this one from @YGreen. Me trying to wipe my dog's wet paws as I let her in from outside, just like I've done every day for the last 2 years. My dog. What the fuck is this shit? It's true.
Yeah.
Right? They react every time. They react every time like that's the first time it's happened. From @TNZN's doctor, are you sexually active? Me, no. Doctor, any drug usage? Me, no. Doctor laughs, does the jerk off motion, and leaves.
That's fine.
That's not a very nice doctor.
No.
What does he mean by that?
Never mind.
Okay. Never mind. And we did that one already.
Here we go.
From @RobotRoboat, inventing the hot air balloon. I don't give a fuck where I go. Have I used that one before?
No.
Does that ring a bell with you?
No, it doesn't. Yeah, no, it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, you must be able to. There must be some kind of a steering mechanism on a hot air balloon.
There's got to be.
You can't just go up there and start flying around and go into the fucking power lines.
I think that's what it is.
Yes. It can't be.
The steering method is, called faith.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
Does it have anything to do with how much air you shoot into the balloon or?
And weight.
Yeah.
You know, the weight of the balloon, like you see it's just
so when you're heading towards the power lines, get those fucking bags off the left side quick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And when you hear a balloon like that, they're trying to get more
altitude or something.
I don't know. It's idiotic.
Yeah, it does.
You're floating around in a fucking basket with gasoline. Natural gas.
With fire.
Yeah. Here, get in this wooden basket with these flames.
Better yet, wicker basket.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Can you guys imagine a scene where I don't know, I guess it could be a couple, but where one person is tired of the other individual and they're like, you know what, I'm out of here. And then they hop in a hot air balloon and they're taking off, just the awkwardness of it.
Or if they're uncomfortable with each other, they could go up in the hot air balloon and then...
Oh, there's that too, there's that too.
So actually, someone had a tweet about how embarrassing it is or how aggravating or whatever when you arrive at your date's house and some other guy's hot air balloon is parked outside.
It's a good visual.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're tough to notice on air balloons.
They're big.
Yeah.
Tough to miss, you mean?
Yeah, tough to miss.
Yeah, tough to miss.
Tough to notice those things there. There's a giant there or something.
See, I told you we were getting old.
Yeah. Let's talk about our friend Sugar Sammy. Sugar Sammy is a sponsor of the Standing By podcast. I hope he still thinks it's a good idea.
Oh, I'm sure he does. And you know what? I think the reasons, well, I think Sam got on board for a couple of reasons. One is, I think he believes in you and me, and I think he thinks the podcast has an audience that we can send his way for his shows. And also, back when he was just starting out, we had him on the show Morning Show when he was not when he wasn't Sugar Sammy. He was Sugar Sammy, but he wasn't the star that he is today. Yeah. And we saw him and we liked him and we said, let's have this kid on our morning show. And we brought him on and it helped sell tickets for his next couple of shows. And he remembered that. And I think that part of what he's doing here is returning the favor.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, as you say, he's a very, very, very smart guy.
Yep.
Very, very, very smart businessman. I remember when I was living in Calgary, he came to the Calgary Stampede, and the Stampede has a venue that holds, the grandstand holds 10,000 people, and it's an outdoor grandstand, and he was booked for, I think, all 5 nights. It was either 5 nights or 7 nights.
During the Stampede. So he was part of the entertainment at the Stampede.
And he sold out every single night, wow. And we were sitting in my living room in Calgary, and he said to me, I want to run something by you. What do you think about, do you think people would go see a bilingual show in Montreal? And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, and he read a couple of jokes he'd been working on and, you know, in both languages. And I thought to myself, this is a great idea. I think it's a great idea. And not that he did it because I thought it was a great idea, but this is how much work and how much thought went into it. And it's turned into one of the biggest selling shows of all time, Juste pour rire. You're going to laugh. Now it's Juste pour rire deux. He sold out every ticket in the first go round and took a while off and then did a second round, and you can't get a ticket for love nor money. We saw it in the spring. And it's dynamic, and it's inventive, and it's stinging, and it's fun, and it's just...
It's not like anything you've ever seen before.
It defies description.
And stand-up comedy can be, like, how do you stand out in stand-up? Watch Sugar Sammy, and you'll see how you stand out.
All of 2023 is sold out and has been for months. He's added dates in 2024, and January 2024 is sold out. February is going fast. If you're listening to this prior to Christmas of 23, I think it's a great Christmas gift if you want to go to sugarsammy.com. Sugarsammy.com is where you get your tickets. I can't wait to see him. He's touring it across the western part of the country. I'm going to see him on Saturday night and have dinner with him on Sunday out in British Columbia.
Now, is this the first time he's taken that show outside of Quebec?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he sold out Winnipeg, and he sold out Edmonton, and he sold out Calgary, and he sold out Vancouver.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how it does in Toronto as well.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to hear the stories. Sugarsammy.com.
Can't wait to hear the stories?
Yeah, and the stories.
Sorry.
Can't wait to hear the stories.
Maybe I should have let that go. Sorry.
That's okay.
But when was the last time we let it go, either one of us?
Yeah, well, that's not our brand.
Not what we do.
Yeah.
Over to you. I was just looking at a hangnail.
I saw that.
You want to tell the story about the elevator?
In the program. just to continue the story about how...
About the old man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poseidon was actually here
Poseidon
for this, too.
Poseidon enjoyed it, I think.
The elevator.
When he was trying to get the doors to close.
Yeah, well...
He was pushing on the metal panel instead of the button.
What was really funny about that is because you had the right to button, but because you were, instead of pressing on the button for the symbol to close the doors, you were pressing on the symbol itself.
Yeah.
So that's why I think that's what makes it. You were it says close.
Meanwhile, right beside the metal part that I'm pressing, there's a button that says close door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to give it sort of a visual, you were kind of hunched over, looking over your glasses.
Down on the end of my nose. Yeah.
Like, hell, that's Christ's sake. What the goddamn Jesus? And Ted has been squiring me around when I come to town. Ted's good enough to pick me up, and, you know, we drive together down to the studio. And he's had a couple of moments like that behind the wheel, which is a bit terrifying.
Yeah.
There's
changing lanes.
Yeah, driving up the wrong way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the near head-on collision the other night was fun.
Yeah, I was actually doing an imitation of an old guy driving, and I almost ran into a taxi head-on.
That would have been hilarious.
Yeah, wouldn't it, though? Yeah, especially considering I'm driving a courtesy car from one of our other sponsors.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know that Range Rover you loaned me? Yeah. I got some bad news for you.
Perform well in the accident.
The airbags deployed successfully.
Last night we were at Place Belle. My first, was it your first time at
Place
Belle?
First time there, yeah. Have you been to Place Belle, Poseidon? Yeah,
Never.
No.
The Stade, the new Stade, the arena.
Yeah, I thought we would talk about that because I was, it's interesting the differences between the big rink and the baby rink.
Right, the Belle Center,
yeah,
which seats 21,000. Place Belle seats about half that.
Yeah, and I call it, you know, some people call it along with me, the baby Belle. You know,
I liked it.
I loved it. I thought it was terrific. I thought they did an amazing job in terms of design. And Renato or Nino, I think it was Renato, was telling me that it was designed with concerts in mind.
Yep.
And I know they've had a lot of shows there. And I bring it up because if you haven't gone, you should go. It really is. It's a great venue, and it's cost efficient, I think, is a good way to describe it.
We parked for $10.
There you go. It's, you know, it's not cheap, but in terms of tickets and hot dogs and popcorn and parking, it's, I think it's a great value. And we saw a really good hockey game. Started it as a Schnorrfest, but boy, did it ever get good.
Rochester Americans and the Laval Rocket. Rochester is Buffalo's American Hockey League affiliate. Laval, obviously, the Montreal Canadiens AHL affiliate. And I never give much thought to American League hockey.
Neither
because,
do I.
Well, if you live in an NHL city and you're used to NHL hockey, like, I think my default mentality is, well, why would I go to an AHL game when I can watch an NHL game? It was good hockey. And you have to remember, these guys are on the cusp. They're just a cut below the NHL.
Well, Yoel Armia is in the lineup.
Yeah, and he was a member of the Canadiens, and the reason he's down in Laval is because the Canadiens are having, well, it's a roster situation.
The money.
The money and the numbers, and nobody claimed him off. He's a good hockey player.
Yeah, I agree.
Nobody claimed him off waivers because his salary is a little bit too steep for other teams. But, you know, and other lots of good hockey players I'd never heard of, or I knew their names and I knew they'd been drafted, but I'd never seen them play. And it was really an enjoyable game. It went to overtime. The Rocket lost. Disappointment for the home crowd. But Terry, at one point, we were guests of one of our other sponsors of this podcast, Land Rover Jaguar. Christ. Jaguar, jeez. Land Rover Laval. We were sitting in their private loge, and Terry and I were sitting on the seats, the lowest down seats right before you get into where the crowd is. And Terry was saying, these guys in front of us, fans who were in front of us, full on Simonac.
They were really
hardcore Quebecois hockey fans.
Yeah, real big Rocket fans too. But I mention it because it was a really nice experience. And I know, you know, the other thing I loved is that I didn't have to go downtown. Christ, I hate going downtown now in this city. So if you're in the Laval area, that it really, really helps a lot. And like I said, a pretty good bang for your buck, I think.
Really good bang for your buck these days.
If you've got kids and kids want to see, you know, sort of, you know, it's a big time thing. And we didn't do the hot dog pizza thing because
we were lucky.
And we were with Italians.
Yes.
And they ordered that food we had last night. That was specifically ordered for them, I think, because that was it was amazing. Anyway, Place Belle and the Rocket, we highly recommend it. We're going to talk about Ted's other podcast. Ted cheats on me every Wednesday.
Do, yeah.
He's got another podcast.
My new lover, George.
This is new lover, yeah. George.
Sometimes Poseidon gets in on it, and it's we have a gay threesome.
Is that right?
Yeah, good times.
It's very exciting. Wow, chicka, wow, wow. We want to talk about that podcast and a particular story, because I was a guest on the podcast, and Ted brought a clip, and it seems to be
I'll send the clip to Poseidon.
Okay. So while we're getting that clip organized there, I'm going to tell you about a new sponsor we have that I'm quite thrilled about. And it's another one of those sponsors. When I got the phone call, I said to Tom and Trish, are you sure? Are you sure you want to be on the podcast? Do you really think we can help you? And they said, absolutely. We absolutely love it. It's called Accutech Electric. And they have been in business for a very, very long time, over 25 years. Tom is a second-generation master electrician. He runs the company. It's a family-run business. They've been at it for a long time. And as Tom said to me in a note, we strongly believe that educating our staff and providing them with a supportive work environment is of utmost importance. They foster the right attitude and work ethic that leads to professional quality service for our customers. That's what they've been doing for years. They service residential, commercial, and industrial clients. They can help you with renovations. They specialize in high-end residential reservations and new builds. And they strive to offer high-quality custom work, as they like to say. Safety is a top priority. They can steer you to hydro rebates. This is a family-run business that really, really knows what they're doing. And if you have electric needs, whether you run a company, you want to renovate, or you're building a new home, you should call these people. I loved the conversations we had about their philosophies on business, their philosophies on life. Good, good people, great work. Accutech Electric, you can go to Accutech. Accutech.ca. We welcome them aboard. And earlier this week, I took Ted to Matelas Bonheur for a little lie down. Matelas Bonheur have been with us since the very beginning of my broadcast career, I think, and also the Standing By podcast.
I never thought that I would be so taken with a bed and mattress or a mattress and bedding store, but what a beautiful showroom they have.
Yeah.
And I bought a new duvet and a duvet cover, and it wasn't a matter of going in and going, okay, I like that one and I like that color, I'll take that. Kevin, who runs the joint, said to me, you know, he asked me questions about my sleeping, my sleep patterns, and I told him, well, the most important thing for me when I'm getting a cover like this is I sweat when I sleep a lot. Right. If the blanket's too heavy, I'm going to wake up in a pool of my own sweat, and nobody wants to do that. And nobody wants to be sleeping next to someone who's in a pool of their own sweat. That's a moot point in my case. But I had a good run. So anyway, he found the duvet that was just right for me, and I actually tried it out. He had me lie down on one of the beds there. He tucked me in, and I thought, this is weird.
But
I didn't think that at all.
The thing I love about this store. This is a different. This is what I've been saying for years. This is a different shopping experience.
Yeah.
And you got it. You got a firsthand look at it.
I did. Yeah. And I got exactly what I needed. And the quality is such that I don't know that in my lifetime if I'll ever need to buy another one. I think I'm good to go until I'm looking at the potatoes from the bottom up.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
MatelasBonheur.ca.
I'm sure they'll appreciate that little end of the commercial. Yes. And then I'll be dead. Go to MatelasBonheur for all your bedding needs until you die.
17 stores in and around the greater Montreal area. Online, of course. And just tell them that you listen to the podcast and give them the promo code Terry and Ted, and they'll steer you in the right direction. Okay. Speaking of podcasts, when we're doing one, let's talk about the podcast that you've been cheating on me with.
Oh.
Every Wednesday.
That's what you were talking about.
Yes.
What did you think we were talking about?
I don't know. I was like, what?
He sent me an email and he's like, I'm doing a podcast. And I'm like, oh, okay. You're going to cheat on me with another podcaster. Okay.
No, we're keeping it in the family, though.
That's true. I'm just kidding. Yeah, you know, I'm just kidding.
It's part of the Pantelis podcast family. It's a show called The Morning Show. I do it every Wednesday morning. Poseidon is here producing the show. And yes. My co-host is George Santrisos. It took me, what, 3 or 4 weeks before I could finally get George's name right? And am I getting it right, Poseidon?
You're doing all right.
Santrisos.
Santrisos.
That's what he said, yes. Yeah. Yeah, and George is a very knowledgeable guy. He's politically plugged in. He's politically active. He was with the Quebec. I don't know if he is still active within the Quebec Liberal Party, but I know he was
politically astute.
Yeah, he is that. Big he time. Was a comms guy for many years. He actually ran too. I'm not sure where, but he ran. He ran as a Liberal and lost to the CAQ, as just about everybody else did. But he knows his stuff politically, and he doesn't like Justin Trudeau. And I said, well, I think we should bring, when you were in town, as you are now, I said to him this week, let's bring Terry in on the podcast and we can talk about that.
Yes.
And we can talk about separating the friend from the politician. And I want to play a clip from that podcast that I put up on Twitter. And this is Terry talking about Justin Trudeau when Terry was in early, very early, like post-op recovery from open heart surgery last January, and it was touch and go. Terry's wife Jess and the rest of his family didn't know for a couple of weeks whether he was going to make it. So listen to this.
I don't agree with a lot of his positions and his policies, but the man that people throw pebbles at and fly flags against is a man who texted my wife every single day while I lay on death's door in the Vancouver General Hospital. I had open heart surgery on January the 3rd, and I succumbed to all manner of infections, and I was on life support for 15 or 16 days. And every day my wife would go to the hospital and not know whether I was going to make it through the night. I was asleep. I was okay. You know, didn't bother me, but it was terrifying for my wife. She got a text every day or every second day from the Prime Minister. And when the Prime Minister was in Vancouver, he said to Jess, I'd like to come tonight. Is it okay? I would like to see him. Mm-hmm. And he came in. He had a speech to make in and around Vancouver. I think he was in Surrey. And he came in the back door so as not to cause a fuss. And he sat. I have vague recollections of this, but my wife was so moved, he sat next to my bed on a chair and held my hand and rubbed my hand and spoke to me and said, TD, you've got to fight. There's people waiting for you. You've got to push. You've got to fight. And that man, that friend who did that, that's who that man is.
Yeah. So I'm not a fan at all of Justin Trudeau, the politician, but I'm able to separate the politician from the person and the friend that you described in that clip. And I posted that clip on Facebook and Twitter, and particularly on Twitter, the reaction was quite polarized.
Sure.
It was either what a great story about a great friend, or he's a fucking asshole and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. And we thought we would talk about it in terms of, well, actually on the morning show, it became a discussion about politics in this country and what's happened to politics in this country. And I view it from a different perspective, of course, because when I am driving near my house in Langley, British Columbia, and I'm passing, you know, truck after truck with big fuck Trudeau signs or flags on them, or I watch on TV as someone says vile things about his wife or throws rocks at him, I see the guy. I don't see the prime minister. I see the guy, the the guy that I've known since I was 17, the man who sat, you know, you got to think about this for a second. He's the Prime Minister of Canada, so he's busy. He's got some things to do. He's got some files on his desk.
Yep.
And, you know, Jess said the night that he came to see me, she thought he would be there and pay his respects, like most people do when you go to the hospital. You know, you know, especially if anybody had an excuse to come and say hello and then leave, you'd think it would be a guy with that kind of job.
Yeah.
You know, he could have come in, but he was bound and determined to sit and comfort her and trying to comfort me and trying to bring me out of, I was still, you know, I was sedated. I was heavily sedated. I was in and out of consciousness. And as I explained, I was on life support for 15 or 16 or how many days, I don't even know. But when I came out of that and I realized what he had done and how he had done it and how supportive he had been to my wife, that to me speaks to the kind of man he is. You may disagree with all of his policies. You may not like him as a prime minister, but he's a human being. He's a father. He's a, you know, he's a son. He's a good and decent human being who does things that you don't agree with. And we've gotten to a place in this country where that doesn't count anymore. You can't just disagree with somebody. You have to stand on their head and open their mouth and shit down their throat because you disagree with them, instead of saying, like I have said to my friend, Justin Trudeau, you're full of shit. You're full of shit. I disagree with you. That's not the way to approach that. And he would say to me, well, I think you're so full of shit because here's why I'm going to do what I'm going to do or what I think I'm going to do. We had honest conversations like good friends do. And I get it. I get it. There's been a lot of turmoil in the country. There's been a lot of discussion. And I'm sitting across from a man whom I've been friends with for 3,500 years. And we disagree on a lot of things politically, but it hasn't affected our friendship in any way, shape, or form. I respect your opinion. And you've turned me around on a couple of things because that's what open discussion does.
Also, there was a time back in our day when there were three things you didn't discuss in polite company: sex, politics, and religion. Those things were not on the table. But with this
goddamn things,
with the advent of the interwebs and the social media, now everybody's got a platform.
Everybody's an expert.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Everybody's an expert. Everybody knows better than the next person.
And they were an expert. They were health experts and immunology experts during COVID, and then they became foreign affairs experts during Ukraine.
Yeah.
And now everybody, as of the time of this recording of this podcast, everybody's an expert on the Middle East.
And you know what I don't understand? This is something that I don't understand, and I'm sad to see how this has devolved in Canada. Canada used to have this reputation of, you know, oh, I don't think so, George. I think, you know, I disagree with you there. We used to be like that. And when I see in my part of the world, and it's not just my part of the world, you see it out in Ontario, outside of Ottawa, and Arnprior and Barry's Bay and places, you know, rural Ontario is also fuck Trudeau country. And when I see a truck or a car with a sign that says fuck Trudeau, and inside the car are children under the age of 10. And I think to myself, what do you say to your kids? Like, is society deteriorated that much that when your son, you know, your 8-year-old son says to you, Daddy, why do you have a sign that says fuck Trudeau? How do you explain that? How do you say, well, I hate the piece of shit who's our prime minister?
Well, I think
what kind of way is that to behave in public? I got, just before you make your point there, just outside of Barry's Bay, where I went to visit friends of Jess's, Jess and I went to visit good friends of hers, there was a house in town, and on the front porch was a giant, not hand-painted, printed. Somebody took this to the print shop and put it, and it had to be 20 feet by 10 feet. It was huge. And it was hung on the front porch from the, you know, it was like a covered front porch, and from the top of the covered front porch, and it hung down sort of blocking off the front door, and it said, "Fuck Justin Trudeau, and if you like Justin Trudeau, fuck you too." And I thought to myself, when did it become de rigueur or fashionable to display that kind of anger and ignorance?
Well, it's not de rigueur or fashionable, and if I was the head of a Girl Scout troop, I would say, Don't ring that doorbell. Don't sell them any cookies.
Well, what about if you're the neighbor? You know, what if they're your neighbors?
Yeah, well, if they were
and there's kids in the neighborhood. Yeah, I don't know.
At that point, I might say something to them.
Yeah.
And I know what you'd get. You know from the sign already that you're going to get fuck you.
Yeah. But to your point on Twitter, what did you say to that guy?
Well, one guy retweeted the clip and said, "The politics of manipulation." And I responded to him, "If you can't recognize that this is about friendship and not about politics, then you're, or accept that this is about friendship and not about politics, then you're the one who's being manipulative."
And whenever I speak about our friendship, people say it's political. I have a podcast that I do with him every Christmas that's become a longstanding tradition that he calls me and asks me to do, and we never talk politics. We rarely talk politics, and everybody always says that, you know, just the fact that I'm friends with him is political. I don't understand that.
Can he not have friends?
Yeah, he's not allowed to have friends. And I was just trying to describe on The Morning Show, that podcast that is live every Wednesday morning while I was a guest, I was just trying to tell a story about a friend of mine who came to me at a time of need.
Well, I thought you did a good job of it. And like I say, I'm not a fan of the guy politically at all.
Right.
I think he's done a lot to really ruin the country. But I haven't spoken to him in many years, but I've met him through you. And he's a nice guy. He's a nice guy.
He is a nice man.
He's a hugger. Every time I see him, he wants to hug me.
Yeah, he's a nice man. Yeah.
Yeah. And in answer to your question about, you know, what do you say if you're flying the fuck Trudeau flag on your pickup truck and your 8-year-old son says, "Daddy, why are you flying a flag that says fuck Trudeau?" And you say, what do you say to him? The people who are flying that flag are going to, or why are you flying that flag? You know, the dad's going to say, because Trudeau's a fucking asshole. That's why I'm flying the flag.
You're right.
Because that they've already demonstrated that's the kind of person they are. And then that 8-year-old kid is going to go to school and say to all his buddies, "Fuck Trudeau, he's a fucking asshole."
Yeah.
So it's like, it becomes like, you know, it spreads like some kind of a virus.
And that's my point, is our politics and our the way we handle politics in this country is deteriorating.
Yeah, it's turned into a hate fest.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a shame. It really is.
Don't cry.
I won't.
Don't cry.
I'm not going to cry. Okay. I'm going to go to sleep.
Okay. I want to play, we asked on the last podcast, well, it wasn't the last, but one of the podcasts, we tried to cover some questions.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And I'm just, Pantelis, you're not Pantelis.
No, he's beside
you. Yeah, there are too many P's in the
there
building.
Are. I'm honored.
Yeah. Poseidon, I'm just going to hold this up to the microphone rather than give it to you and do all the...
Oh, I don't mind.
So Terry,
it's just an audio clip.
Yeah, Terry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Terry posted online. If you have any questions for us, let us know, and we'll try to answer them on the podcast.
Yeah.
So this is one we got in audio form,
right, from a very good friend of mine. You ready? Here we go.
And here we go.
Here we go.
3, 2, 1. Hi, it's Matt Kundle, longtime friend, but first time podcast appearance on Standing By. Will there be a promotional tour to promote the upcoming season of your podcast? And if so, could both of you appear simultaneously on the Sound Off podcast? Thank you for taking time from your busy masturbation schedule to listen to my question. I'll hang up and listen for the answer.
That's my good friend Matt Kundle, who runs an empire of podcasts called the Sound Off Podcast Network. And Matt would like us both to be on the Sound Off podcast thing to talk about our podcast. I think we can answer in the affirmative.
Sure, yeah. The Sound Off podcast is the anchor podcast of his empire. The masturbation, thank you for taking time out from your busy masturbation schedule. That's my standard response on social media. If I get into a social media beef with someone and they become unreasonable or they're unreasonable right out of the gate, I always respond, thank you for taking time out from your busy masturbating schedule to contribute to the conversation.
Didn't you email that to a listener when we were working together?
Probably.
Or type a letter, maybe?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, like I say, it's been my go-to for years.
So thank you, Matt, for the input. And if you're looking for the Sound Off podcast is a collection of podcasts about broadcasting. Matt was a broadcaster and now runs this podcast empire of his. But the actual podcast, I appear on that one every Christmas, and he would like us both to be on together. So we'll let you know.
Are they all about broadcasting? All the podcasts in his stable?
No, he's got a number of them. I can't remember them all because there are so many of them. But the first one that comes to mind is my longtime friend Maureen Holloway and Wendy Mesley, Women of Ill Repute. That's a popular podcast in this country, and that's on the Sound Off podcast network. And there's a whole host of other ones. If you're shopping around for podcasts, you could do worse than Google Sound Off Podcast Network and have a look at his stable.
Pantelis is going to kill you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But Pantelis has a fairly nice stable himself.
He sure does.
Yeah, and a successful one, too.
Yeah.
And up until this point, we've been welcome guests.
We have. We'll see how it goes after this one.
Where are we? We good?
Yeah, we got 10 minutes to go.
So I think it would be time for another Tweetsheet.
You want to do a Tweetsheet?
I don't know what I'm doing.
How do you feel about that, Poseidon?
I love Tweetsheets.
Yeah?
You do,
I love this segment.
All right, because... Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Ted forgot to do a tweet sheet.
In the last time around. So we have two this time.
Did that and that. Okay. I'm just taking notes.
All right. There's the hot air balloon one. That's an old one.
Yeah.
So we're going to move on to the next one.
It's double trouble.
Double trouble.
Wait.
Here you go.
Don't run.
From at Marf Salvador, guide. This is Michelangelo's David. Man whispers to his wife, his penis is tiny. Guide, get your hand out of my pants.
That's funny.
Marf Salvador.
Yeah, he's very funny.
Yeah.
From at Peacezilla, that pumpkin's pretty fucking big, Charlie Brown. Like, what the fuck, bro? Do you get that, Poseidon?
Yes.
I assume that's a reference to the great pumpkin Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
That pumpkin's pretty fucking big, Charlie Brown. And from at Tweet Potato 314, Pictionary timer buzzes. Picasso, it was a cow. Me, it certainly the fuck was not.
Some art humor.
Yes, indeed.
I liked it very much. Let's take a moment to thank another one of our supporters. And we were talking about them briefly when we were telling our Baby Bell, Plas Bell story. And that's the folks at Jaguar Land Rover Laval. When I come in, just to make it clear, I live in British Columbia now. And so I fly in to do the podcast, stay at a hotel. And if you know anything about traveling these days, you get boned up the ass for being a fucking wise guy. No matter where you go, you really do get gouged.
Yep.
And one of the places you get gouged a lot is at a rent-a-car company counter.
Poseidon knows about that.
Yeah. Just a little side eye.
I mean, he just works there.
Doesn't run the company. Yeah. Anyway, and Ted does everything he can to help me save money because I'm retired now, you know. Jaguar Land Rover Laval have stepped up as a sponsor and always give him a beautiful vehicle to squire me around in, which is absolutely wonderful.
And that allows me to give my car to Terry in case he wants to go off and do something on his own. They gave me the Range Rover Evoque this time around, which is, how did Adrian McGrath, their marketing director, describe it? Drives like a tank, looks like a velvet glove.
Yep.
It's a very snappy looking vehicle.
Ever?
Perfect urban SUV.
And comfortable?
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's comfortable.
Yeah. Nice giddy up too for a four cylinder.
Yeah.
It's got real giddy up. It'll get you where you're going and back in a big fat hurry. But please don't drive too fast. We're not recommending that you try to get there as fast as humanly possible.
And you know the other thing I liked about it, I said to you the other night, I said, what year is this? And you said...
I didn't know.
Yeah.
But I assumed it was a 2022, 2023. It's a 2020.
It's in immaculate shape.
Yeah.
And you can get a great deal on it if you go to that department where they have pre-owned cars.
They've got pre-owned cars. Their pre-owned showroom, if you didn't know any better, if I didn't know any better, I would have thought I was in the new car showroom. Because they're beautiful late model Jaguars and Lavals. They've got a late model... the F-Type coupe convertible with the but Thrusto Zumo. I don't think that's the brand name, Thrusto Zumo. What's the engine? You know this Poseidon. Is it the SVR engine is the 550 horsepower?
Oh, yeah, it's the V8 supercharged 550 horsepower.
Yes, and they would put that in the F-Type, right? The same engine? Is that the same big-ass engine? I should know
trims.
This.
I would say the top... tier trim of the F-Type would have the SVR engine.
Yeah, well, this one, whatever
or variation of
it. Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful vehicle with a big ass engine. And like I say, the one I looked at, I think it might have been a 2016. It looked brand new. Looked brand new.
I said to Renato last night, "Are you good with the way we're doing your commercials?"
How do you feel about Thrusto Zumo?
I don't know if he's going to like this one.
If you go online at jaguarlaval.ca or landroverlaval.ca and you look in their pre-owned inventory, you will see spectacular vehicles with low mileage at significantly reduced prices from what you would pay brand new. I mean, the brand new is, there's nothing wrong with buying brand new. And if you want to go down that road, you're going to get the same great customer service. The nice thing about buying pre-owned from Jaguar or Land Rover or Jaguar Land Rover Laval, if you get one of those two brands, you're buying from a brand dealer, so you get all the advantages.
And you're buying from a wonderful, wonderful family.
Good people.
What a nice family the D. Cubillas family is. And it frees me up to get bagels, which I appreciate very much. Anybody who listens to the podcast who's from Montreal and lives somewhere else now knows that when you come to Montreal, there's some things you got to knock off the list.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of things.
Bagels, smoked meat.
Yeah.
He's not allowed to go home if he doesn't come back with Jessica's wish list.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what she's a fan of? Creton. You know what creton is?
I do. I believe I've had it. It comes with breakfast sometimes.
Yeah.
If you buy breakfast at a Quebec truck stop, you're liable to get some creton.
Are you familiar with creton?
No. Is that the meat?
Well, it's
like mashed meat.
Yeah. It's like a pate.
Yeah. Well,
it's like a poor man's pate.
Yeah.
For the longest time, I thought it was absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
And then I tried it.
Salty and delicious.
Well, then I tried it on bread, and I was like, this is the greatest. I can't believe it.
You put creton on a fresh, crusty loaf? Oh, c'est bon.
Is it anything like Chris Doré?
What?
Chris Doré.
Those are pig's ears.
I understand.
No.
They're nothing not alike at all?
No.
But they're both Quebec delicacies.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They really are.
Yeah.
And, my wife is born and raised up in St. Agathe, so...
She's pretty French-Canadian.
She's
pretty Québécoise. Yeah,
absolutely. So everybody knows that it's one of the fascinating things that I've learned since moving out to British Columbia. You know, I spend a lot of time, both me and Jess spent a lot of time focusing on the stuff that angered me so about Montreal. Mm-hmm. And you've heard me this week. You know, we've been literally all over on and off the island. We were on the Dakari. I had dinner on Monkland at the wonderful Monkland Tavern with my friend Mary Claude. So that required a trip up and down the 20 through NDG. We went to Bordel down on Ontario, St. Catherine Street East. You took me to Litrisitz. So that was up the Carrie and around Queen Mary. The airport, the hotel, Laval.
We've done the tour.
Yeah, we've been at every corner of the place. And every time it's a curse fest.
Yeah.
Because it's Jesus Christ this and goddamn look at the cone and the clothes lane and the thing. And then there's the whole discussion about the languages of the university. You know, it wasn't enough. We had to have another language law. Now they've got to find another way to talk about language. And there's the, you know, the, oh, let's put up a hut on the street and take away parking and let's make the, you know, see if we can close the mountain. Oh, like all of the stuff that we focused on. And at the end of the day, sometimes on a Friday night, Jess and I will be sitting on our couch in BC and say, we miss this and we miss that. So
I think you got to make a gratitude list.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think
that's the way to go. Because if you focus on the positives, I think you'll find there are more positives than negatives.
And we tell people all the time out in BC, we say, Montreal is Canada's most interesting, wonderful city. I tell people all the time, there's an electricity in Montreal that I miss, that you can't capture in Toronto or Calgary or Vancouver. It's a special place. And I don't know if that's because I was born and raised here, as was my wife.
No, it's not
because
you were born and raised here. You know, you could take somebody, you could take me and plop me into the middle of Edmonton or Calgary or Vancouver or Toronto, and it would take me a little while to figure out where I was if I didn't know.
Yeah.
You plop me into the middle of Montreal blindfolded and bring me out of a coma, and I'm going to know pretty quick where I am.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Anyway, that's my little tribute to Montreal. Let me tell you about, and thank you to Jag, because now I can take your car and get bagels and be allowed to go home.
That's right. Yeah, don't bagels forget. Smoked meat too, or just bagels?
I think we're going to, smoked meat wasn't on the list, but I think that's going to be a surprise.
Okay.
Have to drop by Snowden.
All right. Pick not up anymore.
My... What? No, it's a joke. Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, this may not air.
Yeah,
I know,
yeah.
I know.
This may just... we may not put this up for grabs until November or whatever. Yeah. Anyway. This week, one of the other things that we've been doing, excuse me, is we've been visiting our sponsors and saying thank you. And yesterday we were out at the Mersons and caught them just as Kara was getting ready to go to pick up her son at school. I'm glad we stopped her.
Well, how was it you described it? We were sitting in Kara's office trying to have a conversation with them, and the phone wouldn't stop ringing.
Yeah. It was like they were giving away Taylor Swift tickets.
That was it, yeah.
The phone just would not stop. It was crazy.
Yeah. Well,
it reminded me of a radio station.
It's true.
Hey, yeah. When we'd give something away at the radio station and the phones would light up like a Christmas tree, that's what it reminded me of.
It's because they're in the busy season. It's winter tire season, and that's Mersenne's specialty. Tires are their specialty. If you need to get new winter tires or you need your existing winter tires installed and your summer's stored, they do that. They will also give your tires a good once-over and let you know how much life you have left on the tread and whether you're going to need new ones sooner or later. And they won't steer you wrong either. They'll tell you the truth. If you're not going to need new winter tires for another season or two, that's what they'll tell you, because they like to be honest with you, because they know if they're honest, that'll keep you coming back. They'll also do maintenance on your vehicle, which is, it's important anytime, but I think heading into the winter season in particular, it's important. In the summertime, you want to make sure your car is in good running order. So if you go on a road trip and you're out in the middle of nowhere, you don't want it breaking down and you get eaten by a bear. In the wintertime, you want it in good working order because you don't want it breaking down in the middle of nowhere and you freeze to death and then a polar bear eats you.
Ooh,
so that's, I think that's, yeah, that's that's their mission statement. Don't want to get eaten by a brown bear in the summer or a polar bear in the winter? Come to Mersenne Automotive.
And you know what's funny, MersenneAuto.com, by the way, you know what's funny about that is in my neck of the woods, it's true. In Langley, I think it was last week, Black Bear was shopping in Langley.
Is that right?
Yeah,
eh?
Just, wow. Oh, look, a bear.
Yeah.
So that's my bear story. How did you
good
like
one.
That?
I liked it. Yeah, I had no idea. I had no idea they could whistle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. BC bears, they love whistling. Yeah, you'll see. It's great.
If you hear something snorting and whistling coming up behind you, run.
The Hanna-Barbera bears out
that's
in Langley.
That's right, yeah. Do they wear ties and fedoras?
Let's get a picnic basket.
There's a 60-year-old popular culture reference for you.
Yeah.
Yogi Bear. Did you know who Yogi Bear was, Poseidon?
Yeah, he was, I don't know, one of these guys. He had a house or something.
That's him.
In the forest.
Yogi and
you'd make a good witness at a crime scene. Hey, listen, thank you for downloading the podcast. Don't forget, you can follow us on social media. We haven't mentioned this very much this season. We should.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Facebook page. We also, I don't know why I did that with an Italian.
Nor do I.
Lilt to it. A Facebook page, the Standing By Podcast, an Instagram account. We're also on Twitter, where we try and let you know when the episodes are coming. And
Ted Bird, the Ticker Talker.
Yeah, Ted Bird's son, Sam, has put us on the TikTok.
Yeah.
So don't look for us with funny hats doing stupid dances or holding our phone going, should I live here? We don't do any of that stuff, but you can get all the news on TikTok about Standing By the Podcast.
You should visit Sam's TikTok account as well. He's quite funny, is young Sam Bird, and I don't know what his TikTok account is.
Okay, that's a good plug.
I know on Instagram he's Sam Duel.
Well, you know what?
S-A-M-D-U-E-L.
Oh, okay. So
he might be that on TikTok as well. I don't have the TikTok app.
I think it's Sammy Tits, isn't it?
Probably, yeah. Okay. Yeah, Sammy Two Tits. Sorry, Sam.
Yeah, we have to shut the microphones off now.
Yeah, we do, yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Standing By, the Terry and Ted Podcast has been brought to you by the UPS Store Canada. The UPS Store near you is locally owned and operated by a member of your small business community.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.